Well, this Sunday we're going to be looking at this topic of loving with your words, loving with your words. And we've been on the 40 Days of Love campaign. This is the third Sunday of the campaign. And I think everybody's been here. You're probably all aware of it. If you've not found yourself yet in a small group or in an adult Bible fellowship, please get involved. Because what you're learning here is at one level of what it means to love, but in those small, in the small group, at the ABF level, we're going down deeper. And of course, this extends not just to our adult ministries, but for our youth and our children, our preschool as well. If you can't make Sunday mornings, if you know you've got a tight schedule, then come back on Wednesday nights. We have a group that meets that I facilitate at 6:30. And so we'd love for you to be able to attend that as well. It's just a great way of imparting the most impactful thing that we do as believers is love. Amen? Amen? Amen. It's the most impactful thing that we do. And so we've been looking at different dimensions of love. And last week we looked at how we should love like Jesus loves us. The week before we looked at loving with a hook. What is that all about? How can we identify that within our lives? And then this week is probably the most practical of the three messages. I mean, this is stuff you can just apply like as soon as you walk out of here. And that's loving with our words. Now, we think about loving with our actions. That's most important. But how do we know that God loves us? We say, well, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. But that doesn't make sense unless we have words to explain it, right? The words explain the actions. And so words and actions go hand in hand, and they're very important. And so we're going to look today at loving with words and looking at James chapter 3 just briefly, which is, I'm going to tell you something. You were talking about a convictional chapter, especially the first part of James chapter 3. This is it, because it's the largest section in the Bible that devotes itself to words. There are many times in the Bible it talks about words and its impact, but this section talks about it at great extent. And look at verse 2 here with me. It says this, indeed, we make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. Think about that. If you could control your tongue, you would be perfect. And could also control ourselves in every other way. If you can control your tongue, you can control anything. And so today we're going to talk about this control thing a little bit and the impact that our words have upon people. And we all know it. Saying the right thing at the right time in the right way can absolutely transform any situation. Amen. And saying the right thing at the wrong time in the wrong way can destroy anything as well. So our words, loving with our words. We're going to look at James, and just briefly, there's three points that I want you to consider. The first one is this, found in verse 4, is that my mouth directs where I go. My mouth directs where I go. Look at verse, we'll just kind of read down a little bit. It says here, now look, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Your mouth directs where you go. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Have you ever known somebody? They had great talent, they had great ability, they had great experience, but they could never get advanced in their job. You know why? I can't speak for all of them, but for many of them, here's why. Right here. They can't control their tongue. They know it. They're smart. They've got the experience, but they will not advance any further because they just say, well, I'm just going to tell people what I think. I'm just going to just share my opinion all the time. And they say those things, and those things keep them locked down. Listen to me, not only is that true with your job, that's true with your relationships. You are where you are in your relationships, large in part because of what comes out of here. And you say, well, you know, maybe some of you, I have a friend who's been separated from his family for many years, and it wasn't so much what he said, but it's what others said to him. But those words separate. I am where I am today in my relationship with Stephanie because of my words. Now, that can be very positive, or that can be negative, or just a little bit in between. Watch your words, because your words often show where you're headed. Amen? They show where you're headed. Another thing that we see is this, is our mouths can destroy what we have. Look at verses 5 and 6. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes great speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is itself set on fire by hell. My mouth can destroy what I have. Have you ever seen that happen? Have you ever seen it destroy relationships? Have you ever seen it destroy finances, destroy job opportunities, destroy good friendships between neighbors? Yes, we've all probably seen that. It is a fire. It is small, but what comes out of it can stoke up or can start a fire. The next thing I want you to consider is this, and read it with me. My mouth displays who I really am. Verses 11 to 12, he says, does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. If you look back up in verses 9 and 10, he kind of gives an explanation. He says, sometimes this tongue praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in His image. And so blessing and cursing come from the same mouth. There's salt water and fresh water all come from the same things. Here's what our words reveal. Look, right here, everybody, here's what my words reveal. Here. It is an indication of what is in my heart. And you can say, well, you know, that person, they just make me really mad, and this situation really upsets me. It's just these things out here. Baloney. It is revelation of what is in here. I know sometimes people get us upset, but I'm telling you, a lot of that anger, frustration, strife, all that stuff, that comes from a heart that's been broken and has not been healed. I want you to consider, so he says, who can tame the tongue? Who in the world can tame the tongue? This is a question. Can anybody in this room tame a lion? If you can tame a lion, would you raise your hand? I want to see the lion tamers among us today. Let me see the lion tamers. Any lion tamers? There aren't any, right? And when it comes to the tongue, who can tame it? Here's the deal. With your tongue, you can control it. You can make your tongue mind. You can put a clamp on your tongue, but I'm telling you, you cannot tame your tongue. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit inside of you and you being cooperative with that work to bring transformation to your own tongue. Only God can truly control your tongue. I want you to look at what Jesus said. There are several passages. James chapter 3 is on the tongue, but I'm telling you, these words as well from the mouth of Jesus are very important. Let's read it together if you can read it. It says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart. Okay, did you just read? Whatever is in your heart, what determines what you say? And then continue on with me. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you. What comes out of me is an indication of what is in me. I'm going to say that again. What comes out of me is an indication of what is in me. Say that with me. What comes out of me is an indication of what is in me. So if what is in me is positive and is good and is encouraging, guess what comes out of me? What's encouraging, what's positive, what builds people up. Amen? But if I am broken, if I have places in my life that have not been healed, if I have stuff in my life where there's still issues that I'm suppressing down, guess what comes out? Anger and frustration and hard words and disenchantment and discouraging things come from me. And I want to tell you this, just because you are a believer doesn't mean it's going to change. Some people say, well, you know, the Lord's working on me, it's going to change. I'm telling you, I know believers that go to their grave still having the same discouraging and broken words coming out of their mouth. It's not necessarily going to change. Remember, emotional health and spiritual maturity are linked together like this. And if you don't deal with the emotional, the relational, if you don't deal with the soul areas of your life, your mind, your will and emotions that have been broken and have been hurt and have been divided by the enemy, if you don't work on that stuff, I'm telling you, it's not going to change. Those words will not change. So how do we go about loving people with our words? Well, let me just stop right here. Let's just stop right here, okay? Let me ask you, what is coming out of you? I want you to close your eyes. I'm not done. This is actually a pretty quick message, but I'm not done yet, okay? Go ahead, close your eyes. And I want just you and the Lord, and ask yourself this question, what is coming out of me? What words are coming out of you? And Holy Spirit, we give you permission to point those things out today. We give you permission to point them out, both the good and the negative, the helpful and the hurtful. Point them out to us and show us where they're coming from, especially those hurtful words. In Jesus' name, amen. We talk about three ways to love people with words. Hey, Brad, you're the deacon of the week. Look, turn around, look up there. There he is. We always have our crows. They start showing up by this time of year, so we're going to let Brad get up on the roof and be the scarecrow. Use your words, brother. Use your words. There we go. Three ways to love people with words. First one is this. This is hard. Love people with honest words. We know the passage, don't we? Stay with me. Speaking the truth in love. That's Ephesians chapter 4. It tells us that we need to speak to one another with truth, but do it in love. What an honest word. You think about how did Jesus talk to people? He spoke honestly to them. Now, I want you to listen to what he said. We read some hard words he said a moment ago in Matthew chapter 12, but listen to these words. Mark chapter 7, he says, Jesus replied, "You bunch of hypocrites." Yikes. Mark 8, Jesus said to Peter, "Satan, get behind me." And then he said to his disciples, "Oh, you stubborn and faithless people, how long am I going to have to put up with you?" He said that to his disciples. What does that tell us about Jesus? He said, well, he was frustrated. I'm telling you, Jesus was honest, okay? And you know what honest words do? Is they cause us to think, oh, wow. I believe that Jesus said those honest words. It wasn't coming out of a place of brokenness, like he's just angry and frustrated. It was coming out of a place, you know what? I need to wake these guys up, because that's what honest words do. When somebody in love speaks to us truth, it wakes us up. It makes us say, okay, well, maybe there is something here that I need to listen to. And here's the deal, folks. Here's the deal. As Christians, as part of this church, we are taught to be what? To be nice, right? We're taught to be nice and not necessarily honest. And I know it's times we just absorb what people are saying and we give them time to work through whatever issues and we just need to be nice. I know that. But sometimes, folks, we just have to be honest with people. Because honest words are a way of loving others. And sometimes, here's what we're doing. When we're not honest with people that we're closest to, in some ways we're bearing false witness against them. It's a kind of a false witness. Because we're pretending to be truthful when we're not being truthful. And it's like when somebody says something that is sinful against you, if somebody lies about you, they're bearing false witness against you, they're not speaking the truth, right? And when you don't respond in truth, in some ways you're kind of bearing a false witness. And at least, at a minimum, you have false peace. Now, I understand there are times you give people grace and show. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about it as a whole. Sometimes we have to speak the truth in love to that person because that's the best thing that they need at the time. Now, some of us, I'm going to tell you, there's some here. You don't have a problem speaking the truth. It just ain't in love. In fact, you don't speak the truth. Here's what you do. You aim the truth. Boom, boom, boom. You say, and man, it tears people apart. And so your issue is, how can you say it in love? Listen, this is very, very important. All these things, speaking the truth in love. Some of us, we sugarcoat things so much that even when we say the truth, we have sugarcoated it so much the person is like unsure. Was he rebuking me or was he encouraging me? What was that? And then others of us just boom, and we lay the person flat. We're like, well, I did my job, you know, got him. A little bit of swagger in your voice and your attitude. Here are two key understandings when it comes to speaking the truth in love. Number one is this, is that you have to be honest with yourself. I mean, honesty starts first with you. And so when you're talking to that person, you're talking to them in your own, you're saying, you know what, this may just be me. Maybe I'm reading into some stuff. Now, what I'm saying is this, is honesty has to begin with me. You're honest with yourself. You're honest with your own faults. You're honest with your own selfishness. You're honest with your own issues. And you let people know that. Here's what I found out, that some people who like to aim the truth and shoot it, they're not honest with themselves. They're not honest with their own brokenness or their own selfishness or whatever the issues are in their heart. The second thing is this, is that when we speak the truth in love, here's what we have to ask ourselves, where is this coming from in me? Is the reason I want to speak the truth to this person, is it because it's coming out of this place of brokenness in me that's just kind of wanting to kick back or to make a point, or is it coming out of sincere love? And even if it's coming out of brokenness, maybe it's the right thing to say, but there's this self-awareness that, you know what, I got to be careful how I couch this because I know what I want to say and how I want to say it, but it's not coming from a good place. So there's that self-awareness of your own heart. We need to, secondly, love people with careful words. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. We love them with careful words. What do I mean? Well, we need to be careful with one with anger. And it says in Ephesians 4, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil, so as not give the devil a foothold. We all know the impact of a wrong word. We all know the impact. We all know the impact when we say something when we're angry. And some of us, here's what I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to communicating, I want to use the battlefield analogy because here's how some of us communicate. Some of us are like the minefield when we communicate. Minefield communication, you know what that is? That's these hidden little bombs underneath the surface. And they're unsuspecting, but then when we step on it, they blow up. And so it's the words that we say in jest. It's the words that we say with a little bit of sarcasm, a little bit of a punch to them. It's kind of like, you know, we say these things, but there is power behind them. It's kind of a minefield. Some of us are really good at that. We say things, and we say it sarcastically with a smile on our face, and we're meaning for it to be a punch to the person. Some of us are like a munitions dump, though. You know what a munitions dump is? It's where they bring all the ammo, all the bullets and bombs and everything. Some of us are a munitions dump. And as soon as something triggers us, just a little thing triggers us, we just blow up in our communication. We just blow up. And some of us, here's what some of us are. We're heavy artillery. And every disagreement, every argument, we bring out the big, everything that we don't like, we bring out the big guns. And we're going to make our point. Boom, 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 boom. And then some of us, our words, the way we communicate, we're like we're in a foxhole. And we just kind of let the storm pass, and then we get up and we say our deal or whatever. So we got to understand, okay, when I'm communicating, from where's this coming from? We have to be careful with their words and not to communicate them in anger. Will Rogers, the American humorist, said it this way: be careful of the words you say, keep them soft and sweet. You never know from day to day which ones you may have to eat. Loving people with careful words. So be careful with your anger. Another area is to being careful with gossip. Proverbs 16. Just read that. Is it 16? Yeah. It does. Where is it? Proverbs 6 talks about the seven sins that God says he hates. I'm telling you, part of it's right here, gossip. He hates words that divide people. And gossip divides families. Gossip divides churches. Gossip could even divide nations. Well, the Bible lists it as a serious sin. We have to be careful with our words. And sometimes in churches, the way we talk about gossip, it comes as a prayer request, right? Let me give you a couple of things. Have you ever been the recipient of gossip? I mean, like somebody's gossiping to you. I mean, what do you do with that? It should make all of us feel very uneasy, right? Let me give you three things you can do when people start gossiping to you. Okay, there's just three ideas. First one is this: is when they start gossiping to you, say to them, "Why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me this?" That's one way. Another way is to say, "Do you mind if I quote you on that?" And the third way is to say, "Have you talked with the people you're telling me this information about? Have you brought them into this conversation yet?" Now, I don't know that you're going to be able to shut them up, but I promise you, they will not talk to you anymore about these things, okay? We love people with careful words. We're careful with their anger. We're making sure that we don't gossip. And also, this is probably the one I have issues with, and it's just saying too much at times. Proverbs 21, read it with me. Watch your words and hold your tongue. You'll save yourself a lot of grief. Proverbs, listen to what Proverbs 17:28 says. Even fools are thought to be wise when they keep silent. Do you know how some of you can increase your intelligence? Just zip it. That's it. I mean, you can increase your IQ points, maybe 50 points, just by zipping it. Here's what Proverbs says. Practical benefits of shutting your mouth. Proverbs 10, verse 19 says, if you shut your mouth, you'll sin less. 13:3 says, you will feel better about yourselves. And chapter 17, verse 28 says, and in fact, we just read it. It makes you look smarter. It says, when you keep your mouth shut, Proverbs 7:28, even the fool seems intelligent. Let me give you one more thing, and then we'll be done. And that is this. Love people with building words. Again, this is just real practical. Love people with building words. And you have it again in Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4 has a lot to say about words, but read this with me. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. I'm going to tell you something. Words can either build people or break people. They can either build families or break families. They can either build neighbors or break neighbors. He says, don't let any unwholesome talk. And he's talking more than just about curse words or swearing, all right? He's talking about, are the words that are coming out of your mouth, are they encouraging words? Remember, what comes out of your mouth is an indication of what is in your heart. Unhelpful words. Are the words that are coming out of your mouth, are they helpful? I want to give you this little acrostic here. This is very, very good. Of thinking before you speak. We've all heard that. You need to think before you speak. All right? So what is this little acrostic of think? Before you speak, consider this. Number one, T, is it truthful? Is what I'm saying real? Is it truthful? Secondly, is it helpful? Thirdly, is it inspirational? Fourthly, is it even necessary? And then fifth, is it kind? I promise you, keep that in mind as you're about to say things, and you'll just determine whether is this going to build the person up or will this tear the person down. So as we kind of close out the service, I just want you to think with me. Your words are painting, okay? Your words are painting on the canvas of people's hearts. As you think about those closest to you, what does their canvas look like based upon the words you have spoken to them? What if you're married, if you have kids, siblings, what does that painting look like based upon how you have painted with your words? I want you to, this week, we're going to make this real practical. This week, I will choose these things. I want you to, there's like five ways that you can use your words to show love to people. I want you to pick out one of them, and I'd like for you to do them. Let me go through these real quick. Kind words transform worry to joy. Worry can rob you of happiness, but kind words cheer. Is there somebody that you need needs to be cheered up through your kind words? What about this? This is another category, gentle words. Is there somebody in your life that maybe they've been responding to you in anger, and you have been responding, or maybe you just shut them down? But look, consider again Proverbs 15, how gentle words turn away wrath. Maybe there's somebody you need to go to, and just as you're conversing with them, speak to them in gentle ways. Pleasant words, they encourage learning. Promote instruction. Maybe there's somebody that's having a hard time learning something, and you can just come alongside with these pleasant words. Honest words. Honest words make us feel loved. Man, and maybe it's a hard thing you need to say, but you just say to the person, look, I love you, I care for you, we've been talking about this issue. I just need to express my heart here. And maybe that's what they need. And then finally, wise words. Wise words can build or heal a broken heart. It says, thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal. They can heal. And maybe there's somebody in your life that needs just some of your wisdom that the Lord's given you. All right, would you stand with me? Very, very practical message on how we can love each other. I want you to bow your heads. Which of those five do you think, you know, that's the thing I need to do? And maybe somebody has come to mind. And, you know, we've talked about this honest, these honest words. I want us to pray that as a congregation that we would learn how to be honest with each other. And not in hurtful and mean ways, but in ways that really build up and strengthen. Some of those helpful things in my life came through words of people that just said, you know, Scott, I love you, but here's something I'm seeing. And they were not pleasant, but it was like the embrace of a friend because I knew their heart. And we want Willow to be a place of healing. Well, healing starts with honesty. It's the same in the natural. When the doctor comes, we don't want him telling us a bunch of fluffy things when it's just not true. We want him to speak the truth because we know that's the beginning of healing. And so, Lord, we pray the same for Willow. That Willow, we know you call this place to be a place of healing. And part of that healing means we have to be honest. Honest first and foremost with ourselves. Honest with our own issues, our own brokenness. And then secondly, honest with each other, those that we're close to. So Father, I'd ask that you would teach us how to move beyond niceness, or from to include niceness, but also to expand in our honesty. And reveal to us, Holy Spirit, again, those deep things within our own hearts that are coming out of broken places so that our words can be redeemed and we can live out in the fullness what was accomplished for us on the cross of Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.